Praise God. Reading in the book of Revelation, the first chapter, if you've got your Bibles, it starts the first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I really like that because all of our drive and efforts, they center around that very thing, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, I guess that's why that I'm so inspired when I read about it in the book of John. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment, down to the foot, and girt about his paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hath found them liars, and hath borne, and hath patience, and for my name's sake hath labored, and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear not of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Unto the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save in he that receiveth it. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience, and thy works in the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into her bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and heart. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none of the burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, unto him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. Even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, and that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. For they are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald, and around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face like as a man. And the fourth beast was as a flying eagle, and the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. All right, that brings us up to the place of the 5th chapter. That's reading 1, 2, 3, 4 chapters. And then when you get to the 5th chapter, you find that the Lamb of God comes forth to take the book out of the right hand of him that sitteth upon the throne. And then after this, the seals, they start opening the seals. Once the Lamb gets the book that has the 7 seals on it, from the hand of the Ancient of Days, he starts loosening the seals. And it continues on over until the 7 seals are loosed. Whereas you notice that as he goes on loosening the seals, after that he opens down to the 6th seal. You remember the horses that went out, the white horse, the red horse, and the black horse and the pale horse. And then the next seal was the souls that was under the altar, and the next seal was the 6th seal, wherein the heavens rolled back as a scroll. After this 6th seal, then was the 144,000 seen that was to be sealed. And about that time, the Lord commanded the angels that was on the 4 corners of the earth, holding back the winds of the earth, not to release anything until after they were completely sealed. That is the 144,000. And then after that, you remember that they looked away in heaven, and there they saw the great multitude that had been raptured up into God's presence with the opening of that door that John had saw in heaven. These that said they'd cry no more, they'd weep no more, the sun would light upon them, not anymore, and he would lead them to fountains of living water. And then following right on down, you notice that the 7th seal was open. And it's in the 7th seal, if you recall, where the lightning and the earthquake starts, because it's in the 7th seal that the angel reaches and gets that censer that is before God. He fills it with fire and he casts it into the earth, which I believe is the bumming and the trouble and problems that's going to strike the world. That's in the 7th seal. And if you notice, it's from that time that he speaks of the 7 angels coming forth with their 7 trumpets, and they begin to sound. And you remember as they sound how that a great star fell from heaven, and the waters turned to blood, and a third part of the moon was smitten, and on and on and on, until finally they get down to the last three of those trumpets. When they get down to the last three of those trumpets, an angel flew through heaven saying, "Woe, woe, woe unto them that are dwelling in the earth." And the last three of those trumpets are called the three woes. And if you notice that those things begin to sound, as he says here in the 13th verse, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound." And then when the fifth angel sounded, you notice that star that fell from heaven, there came an angel down having a key, and it was here in these three woes that those scorpions were loosed, and all of these things appeared where they had hair like women and had face like a man and teeth like a lion and all of these weird sort of a thing. Well, anyway, it was in these three. It was in the sounding of these three trumpets. It was during this period of time that the angel of Revelation 10 comes on the scene. Now, we could really go into something tonight. If we just had the time, it would really, really be interesting. But I want you just kind of get kind of sum this thing up from the beginning of the book of Revelation over to this place to where you can kind of get a continuity of mind. See, the voice said, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates." And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jason and brimstone. And the head of the horses were as the head of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. Now, and the Bible said the rest of the people was not killed by these plagues. They still didn't repent. You know, you would think that after all of that, you'd say, well, Brother Pike, surely after all of that, anybody would have enough reasoning and enough sense to get down on their face before God and beg for mercy. But you see, according to the Bible, with all of this thing happening, they still did not repent. They still didn't get down on their faces and beg for mercy. The Bible said they still cursed God and blasphemed God, and they went right on worshiping gold and silver, and they went right on worshiping idols and all of these things that are made by man's hand. Can you imagine that? After all of this trouble, all of this terrible calamity befalling the earth, the Bible said, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. Now you would say, Brother Pike, that just doesn't sound reasonable. After all these horrible experiences, you know that they did. But see, there is a reason why that they did not repent. There is a reason why. What is the reason? The same reason that Pharaoh couldn't repent. God takes away the spirit of repentance, and God takes away that desire to repent before God, and he hardens their heart. Because once God starts pouring out his judgment, there is no need to cry, "Oh Lord, forgive me," then. Because God doesn't want to hear your cry. He gave you plenty of time to repent. And when the judgments of God starts coming, you can beg and cry and plead all you want to, but it won't do any good. Because he doesn't want to hear it. He wants to satisfy that burning of his wrath upon you until he's thoroughly satisfied. When he's satisfied, then after that, it'll be different. All right, so then it's between the sixth and the seventh woe that we find that the angel of Revelation 10 intervenes. The Revelation 10 steps out. You know what happens. We've read it to you many times. Where he's clothed with a cloud. And he steps out. The rainbow over his hand. Raises his hand to heaven. Swears by him that liveth forever and ever. That time shall be no more. Then after this, the seven thunders utter their voice. John said, I was about to write. When I started to write, he said, see that thou writest not, John, seal it up. Don't write it. And then immediately after that, you remember, we come over to the 11th chapter and you find the two witnesses coming in. Those two witnesses come right in. This angel speaks of it, the intervention here. The two witnesses come in, they measure the altar and begin to measure. They begin to prophesy here after measuring the altar, begin to prophesy here and said, I will give power unto my two witnesses and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. So then they begin to measure the altar and then they began to show the power of their ministry as they prophesy, holding back the rain, having power to call fire down out of heaven. And then when they finished their testimony, just as they finished their testimony, just as they finished their ministry, then the Bible said, up comes the beast out of the sea. And he kills them. He kills them. He brings his power in. So then following the 11th chapter, then the 12th chapter, we see the woman standing on the moon. And then the child is born. He caught up to the throne. And immediately following that, then the 13th chapter, we look and sure enough, here comes the beast up out of the sea. John looking over the Mediterranean Sea as he was over there on the Isle of Patmos, he saw out of that sea, he saw this great beast come up out of it. Now, I brought out a few thoughts the other night concerning this beast, the constitution of this beast, as to what he would be. Now, we know to begin with that the beast is people. We know that. Now the beast will have a head which is referred to as the beast. But really the beast is a many-membered body. And we brought it out concerning the bare feet and concerning the lion head, concerning the leopard body. And we showed you how that the bare feet related back to communism. Isn't that right? And how that the leopard body, now we took that back to the book of Daniel over there where the bear was there with the Medes and Persians. And then we showed you how that the leopard body related back to Alexander the Great, Greece, where all of your sports come from. That body would be a composition of football players and basketball players and baseball players and a bunch of sporty people, hunters and all kinds of things. Is that right? And then we showed you the other part, which was the head. That it would go back to the Babylonian teachings of the Catholic powers. And of that which was Roman power, the voice of the whole thing, the head of the whole thing, would be the brain work of the Catholic Church, which is a German power or a German control, going back to Einstein. Bible said these are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. Well, anyway, from Revelation 13, as you're going over, and we could go right on talking to you over and over and over about the different things that follow up right on to the end of the book of Revelation. But this is the part I wanted to get to. It said that this beast come up out of the water. In Revelation 13, it comes up out of the water. Now, I want to talk with you just a minute, not to try to indoctrinate you with nothing, but just to share a few thoughts with you. I think everybody realizes that something is happening. The stubborn, rebellious people of America that wouldn't listen to a holiness preacher, that don't have time to do nothing but suck on cigarettes, play baseball or football, watch a TV program, or to go out to supper or to do something that's worldly and don't have any time at all for God, they're beginning to learn that God has let their sins catch up with them. And that God is not part of their religious game that they're playing. They're beginning to realize that God don't play religion. And inasmuch as this communist leader, one of the greatest in the world, is over here, it has stirred America in such a way till they don't know what to do. People are torn all to pieces. Some man on the job made the statement he didn't understand. Maybe his arms and legs shot up, half dead. In the war,
He didn't understand what he went over there for. Why did he go there? Why did he fight? Why was he shot up? Why was he torn all to pieces like that? And then our president openly, arms outstretched, invites one of the greatest, most powerful killers in all the history of mankind into the White House. And not only that, but shows him the secrets, and they say that he's got films and he's going into different places and filming some of the very top secret places that we've got in the United States. What is it? Folks, you remember that I made the statement that Kissinger would lay the way for that thing. Isn't that right? I said, and Jimmy Carter will set the thing fully in motion. And then besides that, I said also, Ronald Reagan will have a part in it and come up. How do you remember that? I found out today that these three men, out of all people, that they took their name for some reason and run them through the computer, and all of them come out relative to the Antichrist. 1, 2, 3, Kissinger, Jimmy, and Ronald Reagan's. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, that's really a coincidence. There's no coincidence about it. God is trying to tell us something, just like he's trying to tell the world something, just like he's trying to tell the people of the United States something. But before we can believe it, we've got to get a computer to show it to us. We don't believe God. Now, it is a terrible circumstance that the world is in. See, we made the statement that Jimmy coming in would be the best thing that ever happened to the world, and it will be. For the Bible said Antichrist made craft to prosper. And with this great world union, it's going to be a great thing. But I said it's the worst thing that ever happened to the church. And brothers and sisters, communism is the worst thing that ever happened to the church. There is nothing that could happen to the church any worse than that. Now, the Bible said the beast carried the great whore, which means there'll be a combination of those three great things, and that is sports and communism and the powers of Catholicism. All three of those things will come together as the three greatest powers or championships in the earth. And through that great constitution, it will pacify mankind. Religion will pacify mankind. The Catholics have just the kind of religion that pacifies mankind. Let them do anything they want to. It doesn't matter. Sports satisfies mankind. Because sports is the very thing that gives them that jump, get up and go, turn somersaults, holler and yell. And communism will satisfy mankind because it takes away the responsibility of having to pay anything. Everything is owned by the government, and you just go get your bread and do whatever they tell you, and that's it. It's going to work out real good for the world. But it makes me to know one thing, that if America has to do with the woman and her feet on the moon, and if Jimmy Carter has to do with the man-child, then this great Chinese leader, this bloodthirsty killer that's in this land, has to do with the red dragon that's waiting to devour the man-child. That means that this feller whose name means dung, it means that he doesn't have any feeling toward America or any desire to ally with America, but that he has his own personal plans. And he doesn't care any more about Jimmy than he does anybody else. And he's not afraid, because I understand that he openly and very boldly stated that we will take care of the bear. We know that that is where the powers of war lay. We know that Russia is the aggressor, but we can handle the bear. See, he's not afraid. He knows what he can do. Thousands upon thousands of people. That's why the Bible speaks like it does in Revelation. Did you know that in figures it's been brought down? It's been figured down. And if you'll figure it up, you'll find out that the very powers of China, the manpower per person, equals just exactly what the book of Revelation speaks about when all of those locusts and that power and army comes out. Now, you know, it said that it was fire and brimstone issued out of the mouth. Isn't that right? You know how the old tale of the dragon? You know how that goes? Fire and brimstone coming out of his mouth. It means to me one thing, and it's just like the vision that I saw. When I saw the vision of the great white bear, which no doubt had to do with Russia, because that's coal country, Alaska, where the great white bear is, that one time was Russia's. We got it from Russia. That great bear, when you talk about Russia, you're not talking about the little brown bear that loves honey. It's like my George Jr. said, he went up into Alaska and he said he couldn't hardly believe it. He said, Daddy, just to see the footprints of that huge monster. It's unbelievable. Now, the great bear, the great powers of the beast, the bear. I saw this bear in a vision, and I saw a great serpent that was coiled up, laying right there. And I saw the shadows. I saw darkness coming over the earth. I saw the vision so clearly, with no mistake about it. It wasn't vague. It was very plain. And I saw the shadows back here and the sunlight over here. And I saw the shadows moving just about at this pace, just like that. Just like that. Not slowing down. And I saw two hunters in the shadows, moving with the shadows. And I looked beyond the shadows and I saw the great white polar bear sitting there. And I saw the great snake in its coil sitting right near the polar bear. And the snake would not even as much as we would say bat an eye as to what I could tell as far as flinching. He sat right there looking at the bear, knowing that he was going to strike that bear just as soon as the shadows hit that bear. But he wasn't going to do it till the shadows hit. But just as soon as the shadows hit that bear, he was going to strike him. And he sat there ready, not even as much as flinching from his purpose. And those two hunters knew that he was going to do that. And those two hunters was walking hurriedly, trying to get there before the shadows got there. But the shadow stayed right along with the two hunters. They couldn't outwalk the shadow. It kept staying right in front of them. At the same time, I looked and I had my little family. I had my children. And something said to me, you'd better do something. Because when that snake strikes that bear, he's going wild. And it won't be any safety anywhere. So I said, what can I do? And it was a mantle, just like a mantle over a fireplace. Said, take your children and put them up on top of this mantle. And I did. I took all of my children and I put them up on top of the mantle. Now, you know what the mantle means in the Bible. The mantle came back from Elijah to Elisha. God using natural things to show us God a consuming fire, the mantle over it. You understand what I'm saying? Now, and when I got them up there, just about that time the shadow struck the polar bear. And when he did, as swift as lightning, that snake hit that polar bear. And when that snake hit that polar bear and the fangs and paws and went in that polar bear, that big, huge monster went crazy. He went wild. And wasn't any safety anywhere around. He was so powerful and so swift to be a bear. For a long time, I couldn't understand what that meant. But you know, not too long ago, here in Atlanta, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta, a great big sign on a signboard. They put a cobra up there saying, don't tread on me. And you know the Navy of the United States also has that symbol. Did you know that? Don't tread on me. And China, who is the dragon nation, remember the dragon and the serpent are always considered one. How many of you know that? The dragon and the serpent are always considered one. The Bible speaks of the old serpent, the devil, and then it says he's the dragon. So he's considered one. And China coming over here like that, and America, I made the statement, I said, you just watch and see. I said, Russia will consider that a double cross. I said, Jimmy is working a scheming thing. And already Russia's upset about it. As a matter of fact, the papers carried the head not too long ago said, I can't remember how it said it, concerning Russia. But anyway, Russia, a threat to peace, to our peace. Now, see, Russia, here is that the power of China saying we can do it. We're not afraid of the bear. We're not afraid of the bear. But let me tell you, when that poison went into that bear, nobody couldn't do nothing with that bear. And I believe what the Bible said when it made the statement that he'll come out of the north. He'll come out of the north. And he'll come out of the north in a rage. Watch the king of the north. I believe with all of my heart that China will cause the trouble. I said that years ago. I said, you keep your eyes on China and someday China will cause the trouble. And China's going to do it. China is the one nation that just don't have any reasoning whatsoever about them. When they want to do something, they just up and do it. I don't mean that they don't have intelligent people, but they are so pressed, so many people, till it has been said that they just instigate mass murder in their own country sometimes to get rid of some of the people because they don't have any place to feed them, any place for them to live. And they tell me that it's gotten so bad at this point that you have to have permission to have a child in China. Now, I know one thing. When Jimmy Carter did what he did concerning Elvis Presley, I said, that's too much. I said, God will give us up to a reprobate mind and God will forsake us as a nation because of him doing what he did. I said, that's it. Immediately, here in Atlanta, Georgia, they played the Russian anthem. In Washington, they put up the communist flag. The next thing we get, here comes one of the most notorious murders of all ages over to spy out our liberties, and they roll out the red carpet. I know the state of Texas said we will not roll out the red carpet to him. But see, even at the Ford place, some of them said they'd turn their back on him. But I understand, no doubt because of money, the leader warned them, if you do, I'll fire you. Why not? Because I understand that he bought hundreds of Fords, trucks and whatever, while he was over here. See, the power of commerce, the power of money. It doesn't matter how many people was killed back yonder. It doesn't matter if it's a threat to our liberty. That doesn't matter. As long as commerce is involved, it's going to be good times. Brothers and sisters, it's going to be bad times for them that want to do right. It's going to be bad times. 80 is coming around. We said that darkness would cover the people, that all of those planets would begin to line up, and that it had to do with these men in the earth, that when the leaders begin to line up, that it would be time for Antichrist, that through the computerized system, that one man could control the world. And as soon as the leaders would line up to peace, that would be it. And that Jimmy would be the man that would line it all up because he was after world conquest. Little Jimmy from the plains, that was a nobody, didn't know what he was doing. He don't know anything about politics, somebody said. It looks like he knows a whole lot. A whole lot more than the Congress knew. He knows enough to go over Congress's head. He knows enough to do what Kissinger couldn't do and all the other powers couldn't do. He's doing it. All right. Where does that put us now? It means one thing. Anybody will believe now that America's communist. They wouldn't believe it before when I said you're already communist. But anybody knows America's communist now. When the President of the United States will override anything and everything, when the people are protesting and their blood's almost boiling, and when a whole state like Texas, one of the biggest states, or the biggest state in the Union, protests it, But nevertheless, it comes right on in. You tell me that the country isn't communist? Now, so that means that the church has had it, as we say. All of this thing about Jim Jones and all of the communist powers coming in, all of it summing up together, it just means one thing, folks, and that's you're down at the end of the trail. If you'd rather eat beans and fill your tummy and pillow your head and have a good time and fuss and resent and pout and find fault, and if you'd rather spend your time out here in the world doing the things of the world and cheating on God on the side, listening to a little rock and roll and watching a little something on TV you don't have any business watching, doing a little something over here and having a little temper over here instead of getting your spirit humble and sweet, go on and do it. But there's one thing about it. I said here a while back, I said, God has sealed the church in and you're going to see trouble. And I said, 80 is going to set this thing right in line. I said, when 80 come, I said, you're going to see it unfolding for the tribulation. And I said, this very year, everything is going to get topsy-turvy. And this year, I said, you're going to see things start changing all around for this very year. You're going to see the troubles of the church begin this year. It's already starting. Already starting. Not only that, not only has it already set in, but it's a true fact that as far as I understand of God, that those that belong to God, that they are already sealed. And the vision that I had where I picked up my people, not only in the vision of putting them on the mantle, but the other vision where I took them behind the high-powered wire and behind the great fence of protection. To me, that indicates that the church is sealed in. And this word and this ministry here is to go back out yonder to the world in different parts and different people around the different parts of the world. This very year, we're planning to do whatever we can for the cause of Christ. You can stand with us, or you don't have to stand with us. I could go on and go on tonight because there's just so many things just burning on the inside of me that I'd like to say. But I know that you've got to go to, some of you have got to go to visit and go to work and go to bed and do a lot of things. And if you ain't, well, you want to get out of here anyway. Whereas some of you are beginning to get scared. You haven't lived right, but you know you're going to go to hell and you're beginning to get scared. Whereas some of you have tried your best to do what's right. Very few of you. There ain't but a very few of you that's really tried to do right. But there's a few of you that's really tried to do what's right. And God has something in store for you. But I tell you what, if there is any mercy from God, if there's any time, if there's any hope, then you need to do something, folks. You need to get your mind and your heart and your spirit straightened out if you have to get down and kiss your brother's foot and break your spirit and get lined up with God, because the day is far spent and the night is at hand. I believe with all my heart that those hundreds that I saw had to do with those two prophets. I believe that. And I know that their gold is to destroy the serpent. I know that. And I believe that they will. It was evident in the vision that they would get him. But not before he caused problems. Not before he shook that burr up to bring on that tribulation period. Right at the time that my people was on the mantle to be raptured out. Right about that time. So I say to you tonight, though I'd like to say a lot of things to you, I say to you tonight, folks, you need to get in and do something. You need to get in and do something. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost and been filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to get full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost needs to be flowing in your body and in your life. And if you haven't come to God's Word, He said over here, because thou hast kept the patience of my Word. It takes patience to believe the Word. It takes patience to submit to the Word. It takes patience to turn away from the things of the world and say, I'm going to love the Word and follow the Word. It takes patience to do that. And he said, because thou hast done it, I will keep you from the temptations that's coming upon the world. But if you haven't done it, he said, I won't keep you. But some of you have done it. And because you kept the word of my patience, I will keep you
from the temptations that's to come upon the world to try those that dwell upon the earth. I love you. Let's stand together. I appreciate you tonight. May the Lord bless you. I hope I've said something that might encourage you or might be a blessing to you, might do you some good tonight. But don't wait too late. Whatever you do, don't wait too late. I keep telling you these things because it's needful and because it's necessary. But if you wait too late, the door will be closed and there won't be any hope for you. May the Lord bless you. I'm grateful that you're here tonight. I'm always grateful. I'm grateful because I want to encourage you. I want to see you saved. That's why I talk to you like I do. Sometimes I have to scold you. Sometimes I have to encourage you. But I'm trying to work with you. But see, I could just say, well, my lands, what's that got to do with me? Just go on and try to get to heaven myself. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to see people go to hell. I don't want to see people die and go into the flames. That's why I wrestle with you like I do. And that's why I talk with you like I do. And that's why I scold you sometimes. That's why I pray for you. I don't want to see you lost. And I want you to feel the same way. Not only here, but around the different parts of the world. I believe we got something. We got a letter from some woman through the Westgate radio station over in Virginia. She wrote a letter, and I can't remember exactly what it said, but today Brother Taylor has been typing quite a number of the letters, getting them ready for the book in here. And I guess that's why he was inspired about the letters. But they're wonderful. Is that right, Brother Taylor? And the lady made the statement. She said, I've heard your program 4 times. And she said, I believe that you got something from God. She said, now I know there's the usual routine, as she stated it. She said, of prosperity and divine healing. And she named 2 or 3 other things. Said, which is the regular routine. She said, I believe in those. She said, but there is something for the church. There is something spiritual that's to come for the church. And she said, and I believe that you got it. Said, after hearing you 4 times, said, I believe that you got it. So see, some people are waiting and they're hungry and they're thirsty and they're looking for something. So let's try to get to them. You've got it. You ought to take it to them. It is your job. It is your duty as children of God to go out there and share with them and take it to them and do something for them. Now tomorrow, you that can be here and it's going to give us a helping hand, don't forget, come on around and be with us and help us. And don't just run in and out the sanctuary and make it a place of traffic tomorrow. We're trying to cut down the traffic in the sanctuary to where it can be a sacred place. Hallow his sanctuary. And if you've got an office, don't let the little bit of coal that comes up keep you out. The Bible said the sluggard won't plow by reason of the coal, neither shall he reap in the time of harvest. Just because he gets a little cold, that don't mean nothing. Come on out and do something and work with us and be a part of what we're trying to do. If you don't have anything to do for Christ, we've got something for you to do. Get in and help us. Be a part of it. But don't try to pick out what you want. See, that's where you're wrong. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, just as soon as you have an opening for a king, I want to take the throne. But see, you might not believe it, but I got a lot of openings for the kings. Did you know it? The Bible said he hath made us kings and priests to our God. But the door that opens to it goes in by the brethren's feet. You wash the feet on the way in. That's the way Jesus did it. So then, you know, like the Pope, you have to kiss his big toe or something or his ring. Here, you don't have to do that, but you do have to wash the brethren's feet. All right, God considers them worthy that's washed the brethren's feet. It speaks of the widows. If she's much as 80, and she's been loyal and she's been faithful and she's washed the saints' feet, says she's all right. Now, so then, let's not try to pick our the things we want. We might be like Lot was, and we might wind up with Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's do like Abraham. Let's take what God gives us, and then we'll wind up with the throne.
Fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. But you got to come in by the door.